We're live from the Florida Blue Practice Fields. It's Training Camp 2015. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Glad you're with us today. Season ticket holder day, season ticket member day at the Florida Blue Practice Fields for the first training camp practice of 2015.
Well, you might say it's season ticket holder day. If you look at this crowd, it feels like a lot more. And this is a remarkable crowd. You're talking about a Friday morning. It's going to be hot. And the stands are packed. So it's not surprising considering this fan base, but once again, it's cool to see.
Well, the point is there's some energy around this team. Even yep. with the loss of Fowler in the rookie minicamp, a whole lot of good happened this offseason. Free agent signings, a good draft around Fowler, too. First time to really see that in action today.
Yeah, and it's not pads yet. That happens next Wednesday. But there are a lot of storylines to watch. You can watch the wide receivers versus the cornerbacks, both young positions that look very good. For a lot of people, it'll be their first chance to see Julius Thomas, to see Jeremy Parnell, to see Jared Otterick. I could go on and on and on. I think the fun thing for fans is going to be to watch T.J. Yeldon early in camp. He's the running back, second-round pick from Alabama. He's a guy who, when you watch him in these sort of drills and you start watching him over the course of three or four plays, you start seeing smoothness, you start seeing vision. He's just one guy, there's many. But it's going to be an interesting storyline to watch him as he shoots to try to nail down that starting job, which a lot of people think he will.
The music will crank up. Stretch officially beginning behind us here in the Florida Blue Practice Fields. Let's get to the biggest news today. Well, Chris Clemons is here. He reported to camp. He is on the field. He will not participate in any of the teamwork today. I believe he'll get his conditioning test in today, but he is here and that story's over.
Yeah, and I think I understand why that was an issue, and I understand why there was a lot of eyebrows raised, because he's a guy who doesn't come to OTAs. And in this day and age, fans expect all veterans to be at voluntary work. The reality is this team doesn't expect him to be at voluntary work. They didn't think he was going to be when he first signed.
That's right.
But then if you pile that on with being a news story the first day of camp, which when a player doesn't report, he's a news story the first day of camp, all of a sudden you get a lot of, hey, does he want to be here? Hey, we got to release this guy. Hey, this is ridiculous. We weren't there yet yesterday. The fact that he is in camp, the fact that he is here, he's going to miss one non-padded practice. The Chris Clemons story really doesn't change very much based on what happened yesterday. He's a veteran guy. He's here to rush the passer. He's not a guy who's going to be here and be that leader in the off season that the core of the franchise is going to be. But he's a 13-year guy.
Right.
So I really don't think in the long run what happened in the last, 24 hours, 18 hours, is going to change Chris Clemons' status with this team. He's a guy they need right now. Dante Fowler's not going to play this year. He gave them 8 sacks. He needs to be on the field. He needs to be effective. And within the framework that he's here, which is now until the end of the season, he's a very important piece, and they need him to perform.
J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, we're live at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. Training camp is underway. This is practice number one. The whole Clemons thing.
And once again, they stole your iPod, JP.
They did. They do that all the time.
This gets old.
I've been looking for that.
Yeah, talk to Gus.
But the whole Chris Clemons thing, it blew up yesterday, and it was probably a small fire and then elevated a little bit, threw some gasoline on it when Paul Posluszny spoke to the media. He didn't know much about it. He just knew he wanted his teammate at camp. And when you have some other players talking about it, then it kind of blows up
a little bit. When a guy doesn't show up, his teammates are going to get asked. And Paul basically said, hey, he's really important for us to be here. He's the starter. He's the starting pass rusher. He's the guy that they need in the lineup. And when you start looking at the front seven of this team, Posluszny's very, very big on the fact that Jared Otterick and Dan Skuda are going to nail down that strong side. And that those three guys, including Posluszny, are going to be really important to stopping the run this year and getting this defense to the point where they think it can be and where it can really make that improvement. But you also need a pass rusher on the other side. Clemons is that guy. Posluszny was surprised. I get the impression most of the players found out that Clemons wasn't here sometime yesterday. So I think he had just found out he wasn't going to be here, and he really didn't know any facts behind it, and he just said, hey, we need this guy here. And he also spoke in general about the reality that it's time to be here. And it is time to be here. And if the Chris Clements thing had lasted 2, 3, 4 days, if he had mispadded practice, I think it would have been a bigger deal. As of right now, again, I don't think it changes the storyline of Chris Clements very much.
So the first day on the field, players are out, all 90 are in camp. What is the top storyline today on day number one for you?
Same thing as it is the next 21 days, Blake Bortles. I mean, and that's simplistic, and we can talk about line. We'll talk about receivers. Every position group has a storyline on this team right now because they're so young, and there were parts added at so many different spots. But Blake Bortles is the story. Whenever Blake talks this season, guess what? I'm going to write about it. Whenever he does something today, I'll probably mention it in the notes. We'll mention it on here. How he develops, all the off-season work he did, everything that he did right, all the fundamentals he's working on, all the leadership stuff, that's all crucial. It's a little more crucial now than it was in the off-season. And in preseason, it becomes a little more crucial. At the scrimmage, it becomes more crucial. You need to see those things translate into quarterback things on the field. Jaguars believe it will. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler yet, but you want to see something between last year and Pro Bowl status. You want to see progression. And I think we will.
That would be nice to see progression after all the
work he's
put in. I
always like seeing that. Yeah, well, and there's no reason to think that he won't. And as big a reason as the work that he did is the things that have happened around him. I don't expect this team to give up 71 sacks. I think the offensive line's better. I think Blake Bortles will see things better. I think the receivers are more mature, and that will allow Bortles to get the ball out quicker. All of those things contributed to the sack total last year. If that number goes down, you know, from 71 to, you know, 50, which I think it'll be lower, all of a sudden, that's 21 negative plays gone. That's one a game. That's a series that you're in better shape. Maybe that's 3 or 7 points. Those things start to matter in the NFL a great deal. I think you will see Bortles improve because those things around him improve in addition to the work that he did in the offseason. And what we're really talking here is a cumulative second-year growth, which is what this offseason was all about.
Blake will have his full allotment of receivers today. Marquise Lee is cleared to practice. He'll be on the field going full today. That's good news because, well, Marquise Lee is one of those big three wide receivers.
And that's an underlying story that, you know, in the offseason sort of starts to percolate with questions in the ozone and questions to radio shows of, hey, Marquise Lee, is he a washout? Is he a bust? And you start hearing that because, I guess because he missed some OTA practices, or he missed all the OTA practices, and he didn't get a great start last year. The Jaguars don't feel that way. You know,
Gus said
pretty specifically yesterday, he likes where Marquise Lee is. He likes his approach. In talking to Jerry Sullivan early in OTAs, they like what Marquise Lee's done in the offseason. He went and he got some credits toward graduation. Then he came back and they liked his approach. Really, all this guy's done is work toward graduation. Got hurt, wasn't able to be out there. But in the last half of last season, he was a guy who showed a lot of flashes and a lot of real flashes. He had 30 plays over 5-plus yards. I mean, 5 plays over 30-plus yards. The other stat wouldn't have been as good, JP.
Yeah, but, still a lot of catches.
It's a lot of catches, not so much. But you could probably have that stat. But that's significant for a team that last year struggled in a lot of areas offensively. But then you look and you see this guy who made big plays with not a lot going on great around him. If he can build on that a little bit, which second-year players should, I don't know that he's going to be a Pro Bowl. You can't predict that stage of his career. But can he be a guy who starts making defenses nervous and make the offense better? Jaguars believe he can right now.
And him combined with the leaping ability of Allen Robinson, if healthy, Allen Hurns plays, and, of course, Julius Thomas with his ability to play, that is quite a foursome if they're all on the field.
Well, I think it's significant that we're talking about Marquise Lee, and I'm not going to say he's not a question mark because he is the guy out of all this bunch that has probably been the least consistent, and they've been most worried about how he developed and grew into the role last year. But we're talking about that as a question mark. you don't get the idea talking to coaches that Hearns, Thomas, and Robinson feel nearly as much like a question mark. They're all question marks until we see it in the regular season. But Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns, Julius Thomas, there's a tremendous confidence that they know what they can get out of those players. There is a lot of reason to be excited about Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson particularly. These are guys who are capable of making big, above the X's and O's plays. That gives you two guys, plus maybe Marquise Lee, three, plus TJ Yeldon, who I know you're a big fan of, Alabama guy, who is potentially an impact player. We weren't talking last year this time about a bunch of guys who we thought we could be impact players. We were talking about a bunch of guys that you wanted to see what they might be. Well, there's a good confidence that you're talking four. If two or three of them are impact guys, then you're a lot better. And a lot better on this offense, which was a bad offense last year, could mean, again, 7 to 10 points a game. In the NFL, that makes a big difference.
John, I know you have to go cover camp, and we appreciate you coming on here, of course, and enjoy the heat and practice number one.
And you'll be joined by Brian Sexton. Always a big thrill.
Brian Sexton.
I look forward to that.
Coming up.
All right, thank you, JP.
All right, Johnny. Come out and join us at training camp practice. 10 practices open to the public starting Friday, July 31st. That includes the Monday, August 3rd practice at Mandarin High School under the lights and the scrimmage at Everbank Field, August 5th. Register at jaguars.com/training camp events and come see the Jaguars in person over the next few weeks. The stretch period has ended. This is a special teams period beginning, and Brian Sexton is with us now, senior correspondent.
I'm glad they turned the music down as I came on. I have important things to say. I want you to be able to hear them.
Well, you always have important things to say.
No,
this is
kidding.
Camp number 21 for you?
Well, in 94, it's the Jaguars' 21st camp. I've been to all of them, yeah.
Okay. How is this one different than all the rest? Or is it? No?
It's about the same.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's hot and sunny. Yeah,
Brian Sexton, everybody. Exactly. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, no, the first day of camp's all about the same. You know, I mean, here's what's different about it from all the way back in 95. There's only one practice. You know, the Jaguars used to go twice a day, 10 and 3, and they would do it in the hottest part of the day, and they go full pads twice a day. I mean, the game has changed dramatically since 1995. This looks like an OTA, which is designed by the union and the management council to be a more intellectual workout. In other words, don't get hurt, right? You know, go through some reps. And that's what the first couple of days of camp are going to be. And they put the pads on next Wednesday. So that'll seem like every other first day. It's what it is at this point.
Sure. Brian Sexton with us. We'll get into some actual player stuff coming up. But
sure.
Over those 20 years, now 21, is there a camp moment that stands out to you, or is it all
right,
just
my
kind of
favorite?
A
yeah, my favorite was when Maurice Williams, and I was also working at CBS 47 at the time, and I was here with Pat Cavanaugh. He probably remembers this. Maurice Williams and John Henderson. It was a beautiful night. I mean, it was probably like 68 degrees with the wind blowing and the sun was going down. I'm thinking, what a beautiful night out here. And then I turned and I watched Maurice Williams take a two-hand shiver in the chest from Big John Henderson. And people who have been around remember how big John was and how much that must have hurt. And I thought, all right, Maurice, how are you going to handle this one? You know, you're going to step back up and say something. He started swinging, right? We had a full-out melee. And it involves one of the biggest, baddest guys that I've ever seen in a football uniform in John Henderson. And I didn't know how they were going to pull the two of them apart. So, yeah, that was kind of a fun moment.
How long did it go?
Oh, it seemed like it went for 10 minutes. It probably went for three.
But it was three minutes?
But you had the whole team trying to separate these guys. Yeah. I mean, they just kept going back. And I mean, you're not going to tell Big John Henderson when to stop. He's going to stop when he's ready to stop. Yeah. And after about 3 minutes, he was ready to stop.
That's quite a memorable moment.
Well, because
sure.
I'm thinking, what a beautiful night, and then all of a sudden, here comes the melee. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun night. That stands out, yeah.
Those type of situations really begin when pads go on, when things really start to get heated. That's when you'll start seeing that, especially like week two of pads.
Yeah, and here's what happens is these guys are out here, and I say it's more of an intellectual workout. Obviously, it's physical. I mean, they're going to run, and there's going to be some contact. It's going to be just enough of this, right? You guys are going to get tired of that.
Are we going to fight right now?
Well, no, but maybe like Tuesday,
okay.
You know? But that's what's going to happen. About Tuesday next week, guys are going to get tired of that,
yeah.
And they're going to be ready to actually hit, you know, and be able to be physical and show what they've got. Plus, I mean, the competition here. And the pressure starts to ratchet up. Remember, Gus doesn't like guys to be anxious, but he loves the pressure.
Sure.
And so all of a sudden, guys are going to want to separate themselves from the other guys in their position group. Guys at the bottom of the roster are going to understand. They're going to be able to count the numbers and say, well, you know, I better do something on special teams because the running back group has a couple of guys and the linebacking group has a couple of guys. If I'm going to make this team and I'm going to have to be on special teams, I better separate myself. So in some special teams drill, someone's going to get nailed. I mean, it happens that way.
We'll talk offensive line with Tony Buscelli coming up. He'll join us next. So we'll hold off on the offensive line.
Well,
talk.
There's
no
opinion?
Pads. No, I really don't. No pads going on. We'll get it coming up when the offensive line actually starts doing some stuff. But I know you're a big proponent of the cornerbacks on this team.
Yeah.
The young guys coming in, a couple of new faces in the defensive back room, too. And that's where a lot of special teams, guys will make the team on special teams that are cornerbacks. That'll be their ticket onto the team a lot of times. This group as a whole, it's a big day to watch them the next couple of days, even without pads.
Well, you know, they spent a lot of money on Devon House. And if you watch the Packers at all, you understand that he was a guy with a world of potential. I'm not sure he ever really actualized his full potential. And you know, talking to some of the coaches and scouts, you know, they see a lot of upside in that. Of course, you're overpaying for it. The guy that everyone's talking about, and rightfully so, is Aaron Colvin, who at this time last year was working out over on the side. And we wondered, they probably won't even get him in this year. They'll let him rehab through it, put him on PUP, then put him on IR and bring him back this year. But he got in with, you know, 6 weeks left in the season. And all he did was make play after play after play. Plays on the ball, plays on the receiver. He is a really, really sharp guy. And I think his potential makes it really exciting to watch this group as a whole.
We're watching special teams work. And another question this year will be punt returner for this team. Who's going to return punts for this team right now? They're working on it right now.
Yeah, they've got a number of guys, and they'll all get a chance. But the guy who's standing there right now, Rashad Green, is the guy that I think is probably the most likely candidate. He's a draft choice. He's a receiver. And he's trustworthy. You know, I mean, he's that guy. You want to put him back there. Do you want a 14-yard return average? Well, you'd like it. But in the absence of that, you want a guy who's going to secure the ball and provide a couple of yards up the field. And I think that's the way that this coaching staff feels about Green. He's a very trustworthy guy.
You know, I saw walking into the building today, ran into Tandon Doss, speaking of returners. And obviously he missed all of last season. He was cleared to practice going into the offseason program. It's a big year for him. He had a really good chance last year before he was injured and led the league in what, kickoff return average the year before that?
Punt return average in Baltimore. Yeah, about 15.3 per return. Had a touchdown in there as well. And, you know, had the unfortunate ankle injury on this field a year ago. And so we never got to see him. And, you know, he's got to be able to separate as a receiver. We know what he can do as a punt return guy, and I think he'll push, but he's got to earn that fifth wide receiver spot. Of course, I don't know what Dave and Gus are doing in terms of their roster math, but you'd think there would be five receivers on this roster, and so he's got to earn it. You know, he's got to go out and do it. Obviously, he's a guy with the background in it, but you know, when the numbers come down, it's more you can do, and if he can't find a role in the offense as a receiver, I'm not sure you keep him.
J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton from Jaguars training camp practice number one in 2015. A gorgeous day on the Florida Blue practice fields. Nice and warm on a July day. And it's only going to get hotter when August rolls around.
Well,
it works. And the pads go on.
The breeze blowing through here now. There's enough cloud cover to give you hope that maybe it'll roll in front of the sun at some time. It just is what it is. And in the first, you know, 6-8 weeks of the season, when you're home, you have a distinct advantage over teams that come down here. And so you're going to get in great shape. And you know that the medical training staff here is well tuned into and dialed in, not just on science for hydration and keeping guys healthy throughout camp, you know, but also their individual players. And, you know, they know what the baseline is. They know where they're at and they know what they have to do. You've been in the locker room. You see the shakes with individual names on them, you know, that are formulated for those players based on their position, based on their body type. These guys are well tuned. They're like NASCARs, you know? I mean, they know exactly what it takes to get into the perfect, tune, to be able to go. And that's what this is about right now, using the weather and the technology to get in the best possible shape.
What flavor shake do you have in the locker room? Do you have one?
I don't have one in the locker room. No, but I had a strawberry blueberry this morning before I left the house, and it was delightful. Really good. I'm feeling really energized. Yes. I can keep talking. Talking's not the problem. Stopping might be today.
Okay. It's always fun, though. First day of camp. The fans are, it's a great crowd. Season ticket holders are here today only.
My favorite day of camp is the last day of camp. Because it means that we're getting, you know, to that point now where the games are for real. This is great, a chance to see these guys, but we're going to talk about a lot of the same things over and over and over. When we get to the point that they break camp in a couple weeks, now we're starting to talk about what this team is really going to do this season. I'm excited for that.
Last few moments of special teams work here. Tony Boselli scheduled to join us. He is on down the field.
I don't see a pizza or anything here to entice him over.
No, we got to bait him over here. We'll get him over here at some point here in the next few minutes when we get positional drills going. Is running back a battle for you, or is that pretty much set for you?
Well, no, I think T.J. Yeldon is the most complete back that they have on the roster. And I say that having only watched him casually at Alabama. But when you listen to what Gus says about him, it's pretty clear he is going to be their guy. You know, the battle is, and I think that they've got a role for Gerhardt and a role for Denard. The battle's going to be, you know, does the youngster from Auburn make it?
Corey Grant.
As a return man, and does Bernard Pierce, who's lined up here now on the punt team, you know, a guy who had some productive games with Baltimore. I mean, can he find a way? So if you're only going to keep four backs, you know, the battle isn't 1, 2, 3 because they're all going to be used. The battle's four. You know, who's that fourth guy?
Sure.
Or maybe five. You know, I think people get dialed into how many offensive linemen, how many receivers, how many corners. And really, I think if you talk to Loggeman, he doesn't look at it that way. Guys look at it in terms of the game day 46, right? You know, I mean, who's going to be active on game day? How can we use you? I remember back in 2004, 2005, there was a running back named Montel Owens, the ninth running back on the roster. And it was, you know, this guy's got no chance. And then all of a sudden here he is making plays on special teams and they kept him and he went to the Pro Bowl three times and had a really nice career. So, you know, there could be an opportunity for Corey Grant or for Bernard Pierce to find a way to win a job based on their special teams.
At the last horn, the defense split off into different positions. The offense is working around the goal line, it looks like, inside the 20, at least the red zone, as a team for right now. And then they'll break up into individual position groups in the next few minutes. The practice is coming up tomorrow and Sunday, 9:55 here at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. They're open to the public. And then Monday night, Mandarin High School. We'll have
excited
live coverage
that.
From there, too, and you'll host the live coverage Monday night.
Yeah, excited about that. I like getting out. I thought that Bartram last year was a great way to reach out into the community a little bit and draw some people who might not come all the way down here for one of the practices and to let people get even closer, you know, to see these professional football players on a high school field because they all play there, you know. We tend to look at these guys and think, wow, they're NFL football players. But at one point, they were high school football players. And so for those kids, for their coaches to come and see how they work on their field, if I'm a coach at Mandarin High, you don't think I'm saying the next day? Now, look, the Jaguars gave 100% out here last night. They left it all on the field, and I expect that from you. All those kids at Mandarin High want to play pro football. What a better example than this?
You ever thought about coaching high school, Brian?
No, I'm not a good coach. I yell too much. You can't yell at these guys anymore. You got to find ways to motivate them without yelling.
They're millennials. There's a different kind of learning,
yeah,
right?
Ask my kids. Yeah. I yell too much. No, but I like to see how coaches work and how you motivate a person and how you get them to be their best, which I've enjoyed the last couple of years of watching how Gus has worked.
Let's go a little bit of defensive talk. The defensive position groups are over on field number 2 right now. Let's start linebacker, though. Because Lesney's healthy.
He looks good.
He does. He looks great. Telvin Smith's a starter. Dan Scuda's a starter. After that, some question marks for you?
Well, I mean, I've heard some good things about Kari Fort and Jeremiah George. And if there was ever a definitive look for a middle linebacker, it's Jeremiah George. He has no neck. You know, I mean, it's like his earlobe is attached to his shoulder. He's just built like that. Big, broad chest and a guy who is made to stuff the run. And, you know, Paul Posluszny looks like he's got some football left in him, plenty of football left in him, but it never hurts to have a young middle linebacker. And those guys play a bruising game, you know, as we found out last year with Paul on the shoulder. To have a guy like that who could step in and play. And, you know, they liked what they saw from him in Cincinnati before he, you know, tweaked his ankle and was ineffective the rest of the year with that high ankle sprain. So I'm anxious to see him. Fort's a guy they brought over from Cincinnati to London and has, you know, impressed them with his special teams acumen. I think you're going to keep five linebackers. Those two seem to be the favorites, although I keep hearing about the Armbrister kid from Miami.
Yeah, and don't forget Leroy Reynolds, who's been around.
And a good special teams player.
Absolutely. He wants to be the best.
It's a nice competition there.
Player in the league and has spent the offseason trying to learn all the positions and get a little better with this defense as a whole to contribute whenever his number is called. That's what he told us on a feature story on Jaguars.com earlier this offseason. He's a guy who's been around, but it's a big year for him, too. I mean, he's got to be able to step up and do it this year. It will be quite a competition after those first three, no doubt about it.
And again, we're talking about special teams for the guys, Leroy Reynolds, Kari Fort, and Jeremiah George. They have all got to be core special teams players, and I know for a fact that all three of them are.
Offense is broken up into position groups now. Wide receivers are right here in front of us. And we talked briefly about those with John Osier earlier, but since Jerry Sullivan is giving us a front row seat today, let's get back into them. Obviously, your top three are your top three, the rookies from last year, now second-year players.
Who's your one right now?
Oh, it's Allen Robinson, right? Is that your one right now?
That's obvious, but, you know, when you see Allen Hurns out here working and you remember his production from a year ago, I mean, he played the whole season, undrafted rookie, stayed healthy, 52 catches, 6 touchdowns, big plays. I don't know that you can say for sure that he's not it. I mean, I think you look at the talent, Allen Robinson will eventually be, but right now, the first day of camp, Allen Hurns.
And for Hurns, he hasn't taken anything for granted. He's worked even harder this offseason to get that routine down, going in as a second-year player and get that NFL routine down, and has worked his tail off this offseason to try to even get better.
He sure has. He's a very astute kid. He understands what's going on around him. Humble, too. I mean, it's the same guy today after practice in the locker room that he was after the first OTA workout when we're all like, who is this Allen Hurns kid who's running around out here? So I think when you look at the depth chart, remember, Allen Hurns was undrafted. Allen Robinson was the second-round pick. Marquise Lee was the first second-round pick. I think right now, Hurns, Robinson, Lee, if I'm going 1-2-3, I fully expect that to change just based on talent alone. But, boy, Allen Hurns is a guy that just, you look at him and you think, what a great find for Dave Caldwell's personnel group.
Marquise Lee just ran through the drill there, number 11. He is cleared to practice, ready to go.
I watched him in that, and we didn't get to see enough of him, but there was a play in the game in London last year where he was gliding across the field. And I remember thinking, this kid can be special. He's just not been able to stay healthy. And there have been guys who were first-round picks whose career was completely derailed because they couldn't stay healthy. So you hope that's not the case with him. You see him wearing the knee brace right now. I want to see him stay healthy through training camp because he's the most effortless runner. You know, somebody told me, Tommy Myslinski, the strength and conditioning coach, said of him during OTAs, he said, right now, he is a Lamborghini, right? I mean, he's too fast for his body. You know, he has not built up the strength enough to be able to cut at the angles, at the speed that he can do it. And now he's gotten through, you know, the off-season program, and it appears that he's healthy to go. You know, I keep thinking Lamborghini because he's got natural, breathtaking running ability and speed. Now we just got to see whether he's been able to master the strength.
Lamborghini's been in the garage a lot of the offseason.
If I had a Lamborghini, it would never leave the garage, right? I'm thinking about appreciation value, but in this case, they want him out of the garage and roaring up and down the field. They don't care how many miles per gallon he gets. They want him up and down the field.
Is Rashad Green your fourth receiver?
Yes. Yeah, and it's because of, not just because of his production at Florida State, but it's because of the way the admiration that you see in Jerry Sullivan's eyes and that you hear in his tone when he talks about the rookie from Florida State. I mean, for a guy to come in through OTAs and earn the coach's respect like that, clearly Jerry Sullivan was advocating for him throughout that scouting process. And I think he's four, and I think he'll find a role. Everyone talks about the slot. I think that's probably the place we'll see him. But he's working this camp to earn a spot, the ability to go work on the outside also. And his punt return ability and what he's been able to do. We talked about the trust they have in him.
No doubt.
Yeah, he's four. And then we'll see whether Tandon Doss can earn the fifth.
That's right. Let's move on down the field. We'll hold off on the offensive line. That all really gets started for sure next Wednesday when the pads go on. Let's go to quarterbacks. Blake Bortles, big offseason for him. Plenty of new offense work. Mechanic work was maybe overblown a bit. Dave Caldwell told us in an interview on Jaguars.com recently. But we'll see. We'll see how that offseason work comes out starting
you mean
today.
The mechanic, the scrutiny on the mechanics was overblown,
yes.
or the attention paid to his offseason work?
The scrutiny on the mechanics might be a little overblown because he did go through some injury stuff at the end of last season, played
right
through some of that, which had some issues with the mechanics.
And look, Dave would know he scouted, evaluated, and ultimately pulled the trigger on bringing Bortles in. But I will say that when they drafted him, one of the first things you heard was he needs fundamental work. I mean, he didn't have enough time on task at UCF as a quarterback to be able to be completely in that groove. And his work out in San Diego was apparent to me early in the preseason or in the OTA workouts. I'm not the expert, but he was more efficient, seemed more fluid. Maybe that's confidence. Maybe that's a function of, you know, time on task and what he's got going here. But my overall sense is that it benefited him to spend the time out there, and you can still see it. Now, whether that's the case in November, when he's a little beat up and tired, we'll find out. But John has said time and time again, he's told me, he's told you, he's probably told this audience, that you would see Peyton Manning on the practice field just working on the footwork, working on the ball, the release, the little things, you know, one or two days a week after practice. And for him last year, that was an impossibility. He had so much to assimilate, so much to take on in terms of knowledge. He couldn't do it, but hopefully this year he's able to. He's clearly a talent.
John had a good point the other day after his first press conference on Monday about how it's just a different feel around him, kind of an aura. He knows he's the starter. He knows he's the leader of this organization, really.
And
he's starting to realize that, his role here.
Well, and here's the good thing about it. You know, there are some guys who get paid and then they have fun, right? He got paid and he went to work. I mean, he understands. Now, look, if I'm him today on the practice field, I'm thinking, wow, 4 years, $87.6 million for Russell Wilson. I can have that in another year or two. I'm going to work my tail off to get that payday. I mean, it's professional football. It's about the money. So for him, he took what they gave him already, and he started applying himself instantly. He wants to be great. He wants to maximize every ounce of potential in his body. And to go out and do that and have the passing camps over here at Bishop Kenny, you know what? This guy is a quarterback. Some guys play the position. Some guys were made to be quarterbacks. He's a natural leader. All the guys like him. Everyone who deals with him enjoys him. And his competitiveness and his fire and his gunslinging mentality of making something happen when it all breaks down, I love to watch him play. Can't wait to see the first preseason game.
People have to remember, too, that with gunslinging comes mistakes sometimes. Interceptions are going to happen this
year.
That's the way it works.
Would people take Brett Favre?
That's the same idea.
That's the mentality. You know, I mean, you take chances. Quarterbacks have to take chances down the field. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have guys who make plays on the ball. But he's not scared to take chances. And that's what Gus likes about him. That's what I like about him.
That's the difference from years past here, recent years past, around this organization's quarterback, too. And Blake himself has dropped the Favre name a handful of times. So,
hey, look, I mean, who didn't like watching Brett Favre play?
That's right.
Did you see how many people showed up in Green Bay for his induction into the Packers Ring of Honor? Everyone showed
stadium
up. Yeah, the whole city of Green Bay showed up, right? There are people waiting outside for that. I know Packers fans who are watching it on their phone in Wyoming. I saw them when I was out there. I mean, it's just, they loved him. So that's the same thing. Give me that kind of a guy.
You're watching quarterbacks and wide receivers right here in front of us. Bortles to Lee right there. Tool is in camp, of course, and Stephen Morris is still around. If I'm not mistaken, both of those guys still have practice squad eligibility.
They do.
So
yeah, both
somebody
of them
will have to go at some point.
Yeah, you figure you keep two on the active roster, and then that third quarterback is there to practice with you during the week. You know, Tool comes in and he pushes Stephen Morris, young guy who's been around a little bit, you know, with some talent, with some ability. We got this guy too. You know, and it's, look, it is always about, have you gotten better this rep? Have you gotten better this drill? Are you better this hour? Will you be better today? And that's the way these guys have to think, because, you know, it's not for long around here if you're not getting better.
Gus Bradley with a close eye on this group right now, the Jaguars head coach on about the 10-yard line as the quarterbacks and wide receivers head towards him. Greg Olsen out on about the 22-yard line right in front of Gus. Big year for Ole, too, back in Jacksonville. 2012 was here as a quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinator in Oakland the last 2 years. And a big task ahead for him to get an offense in that Bortles is comfortable with.
Well, and, you know, you obviously much has been made of what he did with Derek Carr last year. So he understands working with young quarterbacks. He's worked with them his entire career, anywhere he's been. I think the highest profile quarterback in terms of success he ever had was Mark Bulger when he was in St. Louis. I sat down with Paul Boudreau, who's another former Jaguars coach. He was here with Jack Del Rio in the early years coaching the offensive line. We were in Mobile right after they announced that that Greg was coming. And I mean, he just couldn't say enough about what Greg Olsen is all about. The way that he works with people, the way that he empowers his coaches and his players, but his overall effort with the quarterbacks, which is how he's going to be judged, he's been successful. I mean, even the knucklehead from Josh Freeman from Tampa had a tremendous year, the year that, you know, that he was there. And then, of course, you know, he's done nothing since. He knows mechanics. He understands how to work them. And I think Blake is excited, just judging on his demeanor around Olsen, to have a guy like that.
Final few minutes of what is the individual period, but quarterbacks and wide receivers working together right now. Brian, we appreciate you hanging on with us
right
today.
You want me to go find the buffet and find Buscelli for you?
It's okay. We'll get to Buscelli another day. Next live will be from Mandarin. You'll be hosting the next live.
Looking forward to it.
That'll be Monday night, Under the Lights.
Under the Lights.
At Mandarin High School. For Brian Sexton, John Osier, everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. That'll do it for our live commentary. We will stay with you on the video, at least until the end of the individual period. It's training camp practice number one on Jaguars.com.
silly. Yeah, I think they don't know what the problem is. The problem.